Last week we talked about God being an impossible God and that he can do impossible things. And we said this, we said as we prayed just a moment ago, is that in life there are so many things that want to disable us. There are so many things that want to press us down. And maybe as you look out on a Monday morning or as you get ready to go to work, you think to yourself, can I do anything more than just exist? Can I do anything more than just try to read my Bible for 10 minutes? Even that's a struggle. Can I do anything more but to just try to live out this Christian faith as best I can? But maybe the best way that you find to live it out is just to be secret. It's just to try and keep a low profile. It's to say nothing to anybody because what would I share? I'm broken anyway. You know, I don't pray for anybody because I can barely pray for myself. I feel like all that I can manage to do is to muster up the strength to exist every day and just to know that there is a God and hopefully believe that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Because there are so many things. There are so many things that are pressing on us. There are so many things that are coming against us. There are so many voices that are saying, you're an idiot for being a Christian. That's not intellectual. It's not smart enough. You should do something else. You should be this. You should be that. And God says this morning, in spite of all of those things, as we're being pressed, do you know what's actually happening? If we would focus on him instead of focusing on the issue, instead of us being pressed down, we're actually being forced up. Because the Lord always lifts us up. And there's nobody that can come against them. And so even in your worst day, the Lord is still carrying you. And as we prayed, even on your worst day, you're still standing in victory. Even on your worst day, God is still doing great things in your life. He's given you air in your lungs. He has given you food on the table. He has blessed you with your job. He has done this. He has done that. And yet when everything, even at that would be stripped away, you've still got Jesus, which is absolutely everything. And this morning, I want to encourage us. I want to encourage us with simple truth. I want to encourage us that even all those other voices that would come to dismay us, if God is for us, who can be against us? And we said this last time. I want us to look at impossible. I want us to look at impossible. And one of the big reasons that we're looking at impossible is because when we look out there and we see what we want to do, we see what the plans that we have, we see what we want to do, we say to ourselves, it's impossible. There's just no way we could get the money. There's just no way we could do it. There's just no way this. There's just no way that. And then I look back to myself and I think this, there's just no way we should have had this building. There's just no way we should have bought next building. There's just no way. And I think what the enemy wants us to do is to get to a point where we go, well, we've had a pretty good run now. We should just stop. We've had a pretty good run. You know, I've seen one or two of my kids saved. Maybe it's too tough that God would save that last one because they're just too crazy. Or I've had a pretty good run. I've had some good jobs, but now I'm just going to have to put up with what I've got. And we get to this point where we just think it's just the way it's going to be. And God says today, absolutely not. There's more, there's more, there's more. And God just keeps increasing. We said this last week, that impossible means absolutely nothing to God because he does the impossible. It's a word he doesn't even know. It's a word that he only uses to us because he says, when you think it's impossible, I can do it for you. When you think it's impossible, I can do it for you. And we could be sitting here today thinking, oh, this is great. This is not really what I need. This is absolutely what you need because as a Christian, you are more than an overcomer. And if we're living any other way, then we're living under what God has got for us. And when we live under what God has got for us, guess who's sitting on top of us? The enemy. He's sitting on top of us and he is choking us out. He is strangling us. He is taking the life from our lungs. And is it any wonder we say, if I could just exist today, it would be pretty good. If I could just make it through, it would be pretty good. The thought of coming up with an idea, the thought of doing anything for God, the thought of praying for anyone, the thought of doing anything significant in my business or anything like that, I dare not dream that because just to have a job at the minute is good enough. And I don't want us to think just to have a job is all that I deserve, all that I could ever aspire to. God has so much more. He's got so much more. He's able to promote us in the places we are. He's able to move things to get us to the places we need to be. He's able to transform our minds. As Lisa said, you could be just full of stinking thinking and just thinking all the wrong things. And then they just repeat, and they just repeat, and then they just repeat. And until something drastically happens, it's so hard to get out of that mode. It's so hard to think anything different. But this morning I want to encourage us, God has promised that he will do the impossible in our lives and he wants to make us impossible people. People that will believe for extraordinary, extraordinary things. Here's a verse I want to read this morning. It says this in Acts 13, verse 22. It says, when he had removed him, this is God speaking about Saul, it's a throwback to the Old Testament. He raised up David to be their king. So David's been called to be king. We're going to look at the life of David today. We're going to see he was an impossible guy. In other words, he did impossible, impossible things, but he did it through God. And I want us to see this morning that just like David, we can be like that. Whenever we allow the Lord to use us, we can do impossible things. We can buy things we shouldn't have. We can see our business flourish when it shouldn't flourish. We can see our family restored when it shouldn't be restored. We can see incredible things take place when we trust God and we allow God to work through us. There are no limits. It says David was going to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. What an incredible statement. Wouldn't it be amazing if God looked down at us and says, hey, I love your heart, it's just right after me, and you do all that I ask you to do. Now, that's an incredible statement. And yet God says this morning, he found a man like that who would do all my will. And as we looked at Moses last week, we looked at some of his testimony and some of his incredible accounts, and we thought, wow, how could you ever be a man like Moses? And then we stripped it back and we realized, you know what? He had done terrible things, and yet God was still able to use him. And this morning, we could be sitting here in shame, in dejection, in rejection, like I'll never do anything. I've got no talents. I've got no abilities. I'm not able to do any of those things. Do you know what you need to do? Place your life in his hands and watch what he can do. Simple steps over and over and over again. We shared it. I mean, people look in at us and probably think we must be the best Christians on the planet. We're barely getting by half the time. We're barely praying every morning. I mean, it's God's goodness. It's not anything to do with us other than just sticking at it. We're like a dog with a bone sometimes. We're like, we're going to get that building. We're going to get it. We're going to get it. We're going to get it. We're just talking ourselves into it. And then God probably just looks down and goes, oh, look at them. I'll give it to them because they're just making a fool of themselves. You know? And God's here this morning. He wants to remind you that he has called us to bigger and better things. Not that he promises to give us a full bank account all the time. That would be absolutely amazing. More often than not, he will call us to sacrifice. And he will call us just to serve. But out of that, we will find purpose like you will not believe. You will find treasure that you thought wasn't even treasure. You will find a hope in things that you thought there'd be no hope in because you've been lied to by other things that says, I've only had this and only had that, then everything would be perfect. And the funny thing is, so many people have got those things and realized life just feels even more empty than it did before. And so it's not about possessions, it's all about Jesus. And it's all about what we're doing and the impact that we're having for the kingdom. And then David was an incredible guy, but we're going to see this morning, just like Moses, he had incredible, incredible faults. But God is looking this morning for men and women that would say, that would dare to dream and say, I'm going to do impossible things for God. I can't do it, but I know he can't. I'm going to do impossible things for God. I'm going to go into my workplace and I'm going to share my faith. That seems like an impossible task. I'm going to go into my workplace. I'm going to start a mini prayer meeting. I love when people just do things like that. I'm going to start a mini prayer meeting. It seems like an impossible task, and then they go and do it, and then they find a handful of people start to come. And suddenly the whole business or the whole work environment, everything starts to transform. Everything starts to change. I don't know what the things are that God's going to call you to, but until we start listening to his voice and getting close to him, we could get overcome by a negative voice, by an enemy's voice that makes us think that we can do nothing and that God wouldn't do anything through me. David was a guy, we've got to remember this, who he was, and then we're going to look at some of the things that he did. He was a guy who defeated Goliath. Remember this, he was a shepherd boy looking after the sheep. He was a nobody. Nobody knew anything about him. And then one day this giant comes, Goliath. Nobody can defeat him. And by God's strength, he was able to go and defeat Goliath. You remember the story. He goes and defeats Goliath with just a stone and a sling. And then he takes Goliath's sword. He cuts off Goliath's head, and he's victorious. And then the prophet tells him, you're going to be king of Israel. And so he's a giant killer. He's a king. He's a psalm. He writes psalms. He writes songs. I mean, this guy has no limits to the things that God can do through him as he submitted his life to him. God's favor was all over him. God's blessing was all over him. And he was just doing extraordinary, extraordinary things. These are the things that God's calling us to do as we would submit our lives to him. The things that he has shaped for us. The things that he has purposed in our lives. And then David gets to a place where he does the unthinkable. Because all of us, unfortunately, can get to a place where we can do extraordinary good things and extraordinary bad things. And the reason why we're going to look at it today is because we can look at the life of David, we can look at the life of Moses, we can look at the life of all of these different characters from the Old and the New Testament, and we can say, well, I'm not like them. You know, they were closer to God than me, they had different access than me, they were this, they were that. But I want to show us this morning that in the midst of all the good things that God had blessed them, we all have the capacity to take our eyes off God and to do silly things. And David gets to a place where he does one silly thing after another until he gets to a place of unthinkable proportions. And this morning, I want to look at the verses because I want to remind us that wherever you find yourself on this path today, wherever you find, maybe you're at the giant killing stage, absolutely amazing, stay there. Don't lose track of that. Or maybe you're going to find where we're going to read in a few moments' time, you're going to find yourself in that place. I want to encourage you that just like David, there is a way back. There is a way back to living for impossible things. There is a way back to serving God, to giving God your best, and watching what he can do through your life. This is what it says in 2 Samuel 11, verse 1, in the spring at the time. When kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with king's men and with the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbath, but David remained in Jerusalem. Now, it's an innocent kind of setting. It's an innocent kind of start to the story. But the thing to think about is, in the springtime, when kings go off to war, in other words, everybody's doing this thing, and David's doing this thing over here. And sometimes we start to go off track when we start to stop doing the thing that God's called us for, and we start doing the things that's maybe more comfortable. And that's what I think where it starts off in the story, is that David has a calling on his life, but he gets comfortable, and he starts to live in a different way. It says, when everybody else is going this way, the places where he should have been. Remember, David is a mighty warrior. He is a mighty man for God. If you read it, you'll find out that he had 300 mighty warriors, and there's nobody that could have overcome him. They used to sing the stories that say that Saul has killed his thousands, and David has killed his tens of thousands. He was an incredible, incredible warrior for the Lord. And so he gets to a place of now he's in the palace, and he decides to stay in the palace instead of going to the battlefield, the place where he's called to. And each one of us, we are called as Christians, if we're following after Jesus, to be people that will run the race. We are people that are called to fight the good fight of faith. If we're not fighting the good fight of faith, you know where we could find ourselves? In the palace, getting comfortable, thinking unthinkable things. And we're going to read in a moment some of the unthinkable things that David gets himself to. This is a man, remember, that was after God's own heart. This is a man that God spoke about in the book of Acts that says, this is a guy that just had an incredible heart, that would always do my will, that would always do what I asked him to do. We're going to read in just a moment. He did not. Because as human beings, if we're not careful, if we don't keep our focus right, if we don't keep our attitude right, if we don't keep fixed on Jesus, it's incredible where we can end up. He stayed in the place that he shouldn't instead of going to the place that he should be. He forfeited the battlefield for the palace, as we said already. He stayed in a place of comfort. And we're going to read it in just a moment, but I want to remind us about comfort. Comfort is a great thing, but I want to assure you of this. Let the best comfort that you get be when you get to paradise. Let that be when you get to paradise. Let that be when you get to heaven. And then you can chill. You can just chill and worship for however long you like. But when we're here on earth, God has called us to be, he knows we're in the fight. And if you're in the fight and you start to chill and you start to get comfortable, you're going to be taken out. The enemy will not be able to believe his luck. And maybe you're here this morning, you think to yourself, man, this feels a bit like me. I was running with God. I was going after God. I started to get comfortable. And then suddenly I felt like these fiery darts were coming. And instead of my shield of faith going up, it felt like these darts were hitting me in the heart. And before you knew it, I was like, I don't want to go anymore. I don't want to serve anymore. I don't want to pray anymore. I don't want to read anymore. We get waylaid. We get distracted from the mission. We get distracted from the battlefield. And God has called each and every one of us to be on mission, which means every day I'm called to share my faith when I get the opportunity. And it may not be through sharing my whole testimony. It might just be showing kindness. As Paul said, it might be just doing goodwill. It might be just doing good deeds. But you do all those things, Acts chapter 2 tells us that the Lord added to their number every single day. As they did good deeds and goodwill, people were just turned around for Jesus. And the Lord is here this morning. He wants to remind us that if we get comfortable, be careful, because it can distract us from our purpose. It can distract us from our mission. The Bible makes it really clear this morning that the Holy Spirit comes, and he comes to be our comfort. Let him do the comforting. Don't do it to yourself. Let him do it for you. I mean, when we start to, self-hugging, it's not a good idea. Get somebody else to do the hugging, because we got to keep going, because the Lord has charged us with purpose and with plans and with destiny. And when we keep going, do you know what happens? We keep serving and we keep purposeful. I think one of the biggest things that the enemy tries to trick us with is that if I got comfortable, it would be better. When we get comfortable, we start to lose our purpose. When we start losing our purpose, you know what happens? We stop losing our desperation for God. We stop allowing God to lead, and we start to lead ourselves. And David got to a place, this guy after God's own heart, where he always followed after the Lord, where he always served God, and now he said, I'll let everybody else go. I'm going to stay at home. In other words, I've decided I'm going to do it my way. I've decided I'm just going to lead my way. And he says, I'm going to stay home in the comfortable places and the good environments. Now, rest is important, but you know what the good news with Jesus is? He's our permanent rest. We can permanently rest in him. Everywhere we go, we're in a place of rest. And then we take day as an opportunity of rest. But we don't stay back in the palace when the battle's going on, because David needs to be at the front lines. He needs to be at the front lines. And there are things that God has called you to, and you need to be at the front lines of them. You need to be at the front lines of that idea. You need to be at the front lines of this situation. You need to be there, because if you're not, you're going to get comfortable. You're going to lose your hope. You're going to lose your desperation for God. And then you're going to truly get desperate. And then you're going to say, where is God? And then before you know it, just like David, we're going to read it in a moment, suddenly sin can look like a good option. Suddenly that distraction can seem like, wow, maybe I'll just go this way because I've decided to lead my own way. The truth is, living out the impossible means we're God-powered. When we stop allowing God to enable us and empower us, we start living just these possible lives where anything can happen, where we can be defeated, where anything can get in the way. And here's two or three questions I wrote down to try to remind ourselves of comfort and to try to boost ourselves out of that. Now, God says rest. I love that. But just getting comfortable at the wrong times. Number one, a good heart check, because it's all about our hearts. I'm compromising my convictions in any area of my life. This is a great question to ask ourselves. Am I compromising any of my convictions in any areas of my life in terms of my faith? When we run that past our hearts, that's a good heart check to say, where am I at today? Where am I at in terms of my faith? Where am I at in terms of my convictions? Because if my convictions start to slip, I start to get too comfortable, the enemy starts to lead, I start to let go, and sin starts to have its way in my life. We were made for more. We were made for so much more. Second quick question is this: am I growing in my spiritual life? Or am I at the same place that I was this time last year? I want to make sure that I'm growing. I want to make sure, I want to be presenting myself as a living sacrifice, because as I do, the Lord is causing me to increase. If that's not happening, it could be, I could be on the way to drifting, I could be on the way to being too comfortable, I could be on the way of just saying, this Christianity, it's just boring. God never does anything through me. It's just, nothing ever changes for me. It's just, nothing ever happens. Or maybe it's just the opposite end. We're just getting lost in more and more hurt. We're getting lost in more and more pain. God says this morning, just keep going, just keep strong. Allow me to enable you. Allow me to come around you. Allow me to transform. Allow me to do impossible things through you. Don't allow the enemy to win. And the Lord is here this morning. He wants us to ask a few questions on our hearts. The season was for war. It was not to stay at home. What season are we in this morning? What season has God placed us in? Third quick question is this: is there anything in my life holding me back from being fully devoted to God and to his plans for me? Being fully devoted to God in his ways and being fully devoted to God in my works. Is there anything that's holding me back? Is there anything that's trying to get in the way, whether it be thinking or circumstances or people? What are those things, God? Help me to get around them. Help me to overcome them, because I need my heart to be set on fire for you. I need my heart to be ablaze for the kingdom of God. If it's not, we're living for less and we'll never truly be satisfied. This is what happened, David. He started to lose his purpose. I want to read 2 Samuel 11, verses 2 and 4. This is what it says. One evening, David, this is straight after it mentions about when kings went off to war, David stayed at home. One evening, David got up from his bed and he walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. He started to get distracted because he was in a place that he shouldn't have been, and suddenly other options seemed like good ideas. Have we ever found ourselves in a place that we shouldn't be, and then other options that would never have been good ideas before suddenly become good options for today? That is what the enemy wants to do. He wants us to hold us back. He wants to put us in places that we shouldn't be, and then things that we would have never thought, things that we would have never watched, things that we would have never read, places that we would have never gone, talk that we would have never let out of our lips, suddenly becomes like, this is just what I do. This is just what I do. And it's sneaky, and it's subtle, and it starts off just by wanting to be a bit comfortable, and before you know it, it can get to a place of, I've lost my purpose, I've lost my drive, I've lost where God's calling me to. And then it gets even darker, and we read it in verse 4, it says, then David sent messages to her, she came to him, and he slept with her. This is another man's wife. He's the king of all Israel. He's the giant killer. He's a man after God's own heart. He's set apart in every way. He is God's man. And in a moment, everything has been transformed and everything has changed. And we're here this morning, we think to ourselves, wow, if only I was like David. God has said, I want you to be like you, but don't get distracted and don't get waylaid by things that may look better than me, but stay focused. And when you're meant to go to battle, go to battle. When you're meant to stay at home, stay home. Follow after me, know my voice, know my heart. Do not allow the enemy to come. It says, then David sent his messengers to get her. She came and he slept with her. This is unthinkable behavior for David, the king of the Israelites. He's an incredible, incredible, mighty man of God. And God says this morning, we need to watch and be careful because the enemy wants to come and do the same things against us. He wants to come and destroy our lives. Here's the truth. Sin will destroy us. We cannot play with it. Sin will absolutely destroy us. Our goal is to stay as far away from it as humanly possible, as spiritually possible. And if we go spiritual, then we will know that the Bible tells us that sin has no effect in our lives anymore. It can have no effect. We can say no to it every single time if we enable the Holy Spirit in our lives to live through us. And God says this morning, we are playing with sin sometimes, and it's going to rob us of our destiny. It's going to rob us of our lives. It's going to wreck our families. It's going to wreck us, and it's going to wreck the people around us. And David's in a place right now where his whole kingdom's in tatters. His whole kingdom is in absolute tatters because he saw something he shouldn't see, because he shouldn't have been there, and then he wanted what he shouldn't have, and worse still, he took it, and he had it. And he had his way, and he did it. Why? Because he started to lead himself. And when you start to lead yourself, then you start to think, I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. And God says this morning, it's not about you doing whatever you want. It's you doing what I want you to do. And David got himself in a complete mess, in a place he should never have been. And then sin became an option, and then sin starts to destroy our lives. And maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, wow, this is like, stop talking about me. I don't know. But where are you on the journey? Don't worry, there's good news coming because God is a restorer if we're ready to turn back. She was married. He knew it, but he didn't care. Imagine that. This man who did impossible things is now suddenly in free fall. And here's what it says in 2 Samuel 11, verse 5. The woman conceived and sent word to David, I am pregnant. I mean, this story just gets worse and worse and worse because of one bad decision. And the enemy always wants to take you further. He always wants to drag you deeper. He always wants to do. And then the blessings, things that should be a blessing, like a baby, suddenly is not a blessing at all. Because I'm not her husband. I should not be with her. And then the story gets worse. David doesn't at this point turn around. For the sake of time, I'm going to speed it up. But what happens is then next you're thinking, what would he do? What would we do next? Surely we'd come clean. Absolutely not. He tries to cover it up. This is what he does. This is David. Remember this. This is the king of Israel. God's chosen man. The guy who's defeated everyone after God's own heart. You know what he does next? He tries to cover it up. Tries to tell more lies. He brings the husband home from the battlefield and he says, can you go home with your wife? Can you go spend some time with your wife? Because he's hoping he's going to go back home. They're going to sleep together and then he can cover the whole thing up. But Uriah won't go back home. He just won't go back home. He just goes hangs out with his mates because he's like, I'm not going back home to have a good time with my wife when everybody else is suffering on the battlefield. This is not a time to go home for comfort. This is what he says. This is not a time to go home for comfort. I've been called to the battlefield. I'm going back out with the man. I mean, David couldn't get it. He just couldn't see it because he's being blinded by sin. He's being blinded by where he's at in his life because he's at a place where he shouldn't be. And then it says, then David sends him home the second night. He won't go home either. And then David gets furious. And then it gets even darker in the story. Do you know what happens next? David then sends word to Joab that we read at the beginning, the leader of the army at that time. And he says, you know what you're going to do? You're going to bring Uriah to the front of the front lines. And then you're going to get all of our guys to pull back. And we're going to see him murdered. We're going to see him wiped out because I've got to get this thing covered up. I can't handle my shame. I can't handle my disgrace. I can't come clean. I don't want to come clean. And this guy had been so deceived. Remember, this is David who knows God's heart, and he knows that God sees all things, but in this moment, he's trying to hide everything. He's trying to deceive everyone. He's trying to pull the wool over everybody else's eyes, but unfortunately, God sees everything. He sees everything. Right at the end of chapter 11, it says this. It says that the Lord looked down, but the thing David had done displeased the Lord. The things that David had done displeased him. And there are things in our lives that sometimes we try to get away with, but what we should be doing is coming back to God and saying, I know I shouldn't have done that. I know I shouldn't have been there. Lord, I need your forgiveness. And then God sends his prophet Nathan to David, and he gives him another opportunity. He's going to heap coals in his head because he's going to see, what is this guy made of? And remember this, our failures don't have to mean the end. but they can define us as we rise up from them, as we would serve God, because God knows we're going to make mistakes. That's why Jesus had to come, because of mistakes. God knows that we're going to mess up. He knows that we're going to make wrong choices at times, but he says, do not get stuck there. Come back to me. And God's here this morning saying, where do we find ourselves in the story? Because the story goes then that the prophet Nathan comes to David and he tells him this crazy story. He says there was a couple of farmers. One farmer had loads of money, had loads of sheep. The other farmer had none. All he had was one tiny little lamb. That's all that he had. And he said, but the rich farmer came to him and he says, hey, what I really want is your lamb because I've got all these, but I fancy another one because I'm greedy. I just feel like it's my life now. I feel like I can do what I want. I feel like I can have what I want. I feel like I take what I want. He comes to him and he takes the lamb and he takes the lamb and he kills the lamb and he tells a story and David's furious. He says, how can anybody do that? How could anybody do that? How could anybody steal from another person like that who has so little, who has only that one thing? And of course, the prophet Nathan then describes words that must have haunted David for a long time. He says this in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7. Then the prophet Nathan said to David, you are the man. This is what the Lord God of Israel said. I've anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. God, even in that moment, points out his mistake, but he calls out his destiny. And church, this morning, we could be here under heavy, heavy mistake, under heavy, heavy sin, under heavy, heavy circumstances that we have placed in our lives. But just as God reveals it, he also always reveals our destiny. He always reveals who we should be, who we can be, who we will be as we would give our lives to him. He doesn't want to see us stuck in a pit. He wants to see us rise. He wants us to see conquer. He wants us to be more than overcomers because that's who he's called us to be. And David was a guy who did impossible things, but in those moments he did despicable things. He did terrible things. He did things that he should never have done. And God's here this morning. He says, where are we in the story? Where do we find ourselves in the story? Where do we find ourselves? And you may be sitting here feeling absolutely crushed because of some of the things, or you may be absolutely crushed because of what's been going on. And God says this morning, but I'm ready to lift you up if you're ready to turn around. And there's much more in that story, and I encourage you to read it, but for the sake of time, we're just going to skip to the part where the Lord restores David. It says this, then David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, the Lord has taken away your sin. You're not going to die. And the Lord's here this morning. He's saying this, if we've got sin in our lives, he wants to remove it. But we've got to recognize it's there. We've got to own up to it. If we're here this morning, we've never known Jesus, then the biggest thing that we need to do is just ask, is present ourselves. We need to say, Jesus, come and take away that sin from my life. I don't want it anymore. It's going to absolutely kill me, and not just me, but it's going to destroy my family. Do you know what ended up happening? That baby that was born with Bathsheba ended up dying. It was just a bad story after bad story after bad story after bad story. And even in the midst of this, we've got to know the truth. We've got to know that, yes, Jesus sets us free from our sin, but the consequences keep rolling. Because this is just the life that we live in. It's just the world that we stay in. It's the world that we're in right now. We're in a fallen, broken world. And we've got to know that absolutely the Lord will restore us, but we always take responsibility for the things that we do. And sometimes the fallout of it cannot be turned around, cannot be changed. And so I want to encourage us this morning that if we get comfortable, we could end up in places like that. Maybe you're in a place like that. Come back to God. Say, I've sinned, God. Come and restore me. He will be faithful. He will do that. Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm not after the impossible, but I'm not after that either. And God says this morning, well, it's a slippery slope because once you get off the impossible route and you stop going to war like what all the other kings are doing, or you stop going to the battlefield where you should be, you can find yourself in a place of comfort. And before you know it, you could be the person that's just leading your own life, doing incredible things that you never thought you should be doing. God is here this morning. He says, hey, I've come to arrest you. We sang the song this morning, but I've come to transform you. Remember, David was a man after God's own heart, but he made huge mistakes, but it wasn't the end of the story. And maybe you're here this morning and you've made huge mistakes, but it doesn't have to be the end of the story. God is here this morning. He is a redeemer. He is a restorer. He is a lifter, and he wants to do incredible, incredible things through your life if you will let him. Here's what I think it's all about this morning. It's all about our hearts. It's all about our hearts. God knows there are going to be things that we think that are no good. God knows that we're going to do actions that we shouldn't do, but it comes back to our hearts. Do you know what the thing that saved David in the end was? His heart. It was a soft heart. In that moment, he had an opportunity to ask for forgiveness. If he had a hard heart, he would have never asked. One thing that David held on to was that soft heart. It was something that he held on to dearly, and it allowed him to come back. And I want to encourage you this morning, where's your heart at? Because you may not have got to those places yet, but it's all about a heart. So where's your heart at this morning? You know, you could have a heart this morning that says, I'm always right. It's always my way or the highway. I'm a bit harsh on people. I just want it this way or that way. You know, there's not much forgiveness there. I can be harsh. Sometimes my words can be harsh. Be careful. That kind of heart can lead us to places we don't want to go. Because out of the heart, the issues of life flow. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our hearts are vitally important. Or maybe this is the heart you want to have. Or maybe this is the heart, hopefully you have. Or this is the heart where God's bringing you to. A heart that's soft. A heart that's teachable. A heart that's willing to listen. A heart that's willing to receive. A heart that's always willing to learn from mistakes. A heart that's willing to come back. A heart that is dedicated and set on God will do impossible things for the kingdom of God. A heart that's not, will not. It's that simple. It's that simple. It's that straightforward. Can we stand this morning? We're going to sing and worship as we finish. But I want to challenge your spirits. I want to challenge your hearts with what we've been sharing. David had so much destiny, but it could have ended in complete defeat. So much destiny, but it could have ended in complete defeat. And so, Lord, I pray this morning this. I pray, Lord, wherever we find ourselves, Lord, maybe we find ourselves on that journey. Maybe we find ourselves, Lord, in the midst of that battle. Lord, maybe we're in the battle right now. We just need strength to keep going. And the enemy's trying to lie to us to say, if you could only get a comfort break, if you could only do this, if you could only do that. And God says, no, you just stand firm. Stand firm. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's the word of the Lord today. If we're in the midst of the battle and we're feeling like quitting. Or maybe you're in the midst of the battle today and you think to yourself, God, I just need some help. Because maybe you find yourself in the midst of the battle and you're trying to do it in your own strength. And the Lord says, don't do it any longer like that. Give up, but give up on me. Don't give up on the battle. Give up on me and watch how I will strengthen you and cause you to overcome in a season when you shouldn't overcome. Or maybe we're not in the battle because we've given up and we're right back in the comfort place. We're in the palace. And Lord, I pray this morning that whatever we're looking at, make sure that we're not getting distracted by things that are not for us and that shouldn't be ours. Because David did. And I pray this morning, above all of the things that we're talking about, Lord, above all the things that we're sharing, Lord, that we will realize this, that it's our hearts that are vitally, vitally important. And this morning, as we finish off with a song, as we worship, I want to give opportunity for two things. I want to give opportunity because we talked a lot about what David was going through. And included in that was sin. And there's sin in our lives. I want to give a great opportunity. I want to give a great opportunity. If you're here this morning, and let's give everybody a moment. So if you haven't got your eyes closed, let's do that for just a moment. But let's just take a moment and leave an incredible invitation. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus or you're far from him. Maybe you're stuck in a mess just like David's. Maybe it even seems worse than that. Well, the Lord says, doesn't matter how bad it gets because I'm not good. I can rescue you no matter where you are. But you've got to turn to me. You've got to ask me. You've got to invite me. Maybe we're here this morning, we recognize that we're just dead in our sins. And when we're in our sins, we're just dead. There's new opportunities. Everything's just different. We are dead because when we die, we go to a lost eternity. But the Lord's here this morning. He says, just like David, you might have started off well. It might have went pear-shaped, but there's a route back and there's a greater destiny. There's a better finish for you. Maybe you're here this morning and you just think to yourself, man, this is what I need. I need to get right with God because God's been speaking to my heart this morning. I want to invite you this morning. I want to invite you to do one simple thing, and that's just indicate to me, and it's just simply raising your hand, and then we're going to pray together. I'm going to pray from here. I'm going to ask the Lord, invite the Lord as you do it into your heart. And then suddenly everything changes. The Bible tells us that whenever he comes into my life, suddenly I'm never the same again. My whole life has been transformed. My sin has been removed, and I become a new creation in Christ. What a wonderful, wonderful, incredible thing. And so, guys, this is where we've got our eyes closed, and we're going to be worshiping in just a moment. But I have to give this opportunity because it's so amazing. Is there anybody today, or more than one person, who either wants to come back to God because you've been too far from him, or you want to come to God? Anybody this morning who just knows they need to get saved, need to invite Jesus into their hearts, they need to be born again? Anybody today feeling like that? I mean, I have no need to drag it, but I just give an opportunity. Anybody feeling like that this morning? It's a wonderful opportunity. Come on. Hey, we're going to pray. But if that's you today, be brave, be bold. You don't have to wait for somebody else. You can just do it. Just do it this morning. Lord, I pray this today. I pray, Lord, that anyone who's far from you, you're after them with an incredible, unconditional love. I mean, we think David's the hero in the story because it all worked out in the end. But the hero in the story is the Lord. Because no matter what, his unconditional love is able to come around us and lift us up. And not only lift us up, but use us again, which is far beyond my comprehension. Not just use us again, but give us the best. Put us into the best destiny. Put us into the best places. Here's the truth, how we might have handled David. We would have said, David, you've spoiled it up. You're never going back to the throne. You'll just serve in the kingdom, but that's it. God restored him fully back to the palace, fully back as the king. Because God's destiny doesn't change. His destiny was still in his life. All he had to do was repent. All he had to do was turn around. All he had to do was mean it. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that if we find ourselves here and we're in that position, that, Lord, that we would turn to you and we would mean it in Jesus' name. And then I finish off with this. One more response. If we're here this morning, we felt like the Lord was just speaking to us and there's some changes that we need to make in our lives, or we don't even know what the change is, but we just felt that the Lord was just gripping our heart. Let's unite together in that. Is there anybody feeling like that this morning? If you did, then just simply raise your hand just so that we can pray together, unite together. Just as we were talking about some stuff this morning, just something was just hitting on your heart, something you just felt was just grabbing you. There was just something that God was just speaking to you, and you just want to unite together. We just want to respond together. We're going to say, come on, let's do it together as a family. Anybody feeling like that? Amen. And there, guys, yeah, come on, we're just bold together because we're family together. We overcome together. We overcome through Jesus together. And so, Lord, I just pray for that, Lord. I pray victory over all of our lives. We all know where we find ourselves, Lord. We all know where we are in the journey. I speak victory, Lord. I speak overcoming, Lord. I speak against the pain of hurt, Lord. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, you would come and you'd resolve that pain. You would heal that pain. You would transform that pain. And that pain that once crippled us will become our testimony that will set other people free. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, wherever we find ourselves in the story, that you're coming, Lord, that you're after us, that your love is refreshing us, that your love is transforming us, that your love is turning us around, Lord, that there is no limits, Lord. And maybe we're here this morning, we're talking about impossible, and we think in our minds, there is no way. It's just pure cheese. It's just pure this. It's just pure that. And God says this morning, I want to transform your mind. I want to transform it. I want to absolutely renew it. I want to wash it white as snow. I want to just redeem it fully back where you can believe for extraordinary, ridiculous things because a supernatural God lives in you. And so, Lord, this morning as we finish off, Lord, as we worship, Lord, just continue to speak and that we would continually ask that question, what is the Lord saying to me? What is the changes I need to make? What does he want to do through me? Lord, you're faithful and you're good this morning. We worship you. We're going to worship the Lord. Come on. And as we worship him, we're going to take our offering today. We should have done it earlier. We got excited as usual. We just wanted to talk about Jesus. So we're going to do our offering this morning. We're going to worship him through our giving. We give if we can. If we can't, no problem whatsoever. We just give to the Lord because we love to give. Because we realize this, everything that we have is his. And he's given to us first so that we can give back to him. So all we're doing is just, we're just honoring him by giving back. We're just saying thank you. It's a thank you to the Lord. So come on, let's give and let's worship together. And we're going to be done in just a moment. Amen.